Hey guys, good morning. Hey, are we on now?
Yeah.
All right, that was Caleb, because you're wondering, and Caleb was just kind of having fun up here. He wasn't really sure what he was going to say. And so, in fact, that's actually what happened. You were saved by the day, weren't you, by the bell. Didn't have to say anything. Guys, welcome for this morning's service. We are so excited to be here with you through cyberspace. And what is today? Father's Day. Boy, what a day. And for all the dads out there, we want to say, God bless you. Enjoy the day. Enjoy your families. You know, we are so grateful for the gift that God has given us, both as our Father in Him and dads around the world. I know I'm grateful for my dad and for all the ones that he's given to us. So, Lord, bless these guys. Use them powerfully, even this day. Let them enjoy the day with their family. I'm not sure what the announcements are. Do I do any of the announcements, guys? Nope, no announcements. We're not going to do that. So are we, now we're just talking here. So am I starting? Oh, okay. So guys, before we start, let me just pray for Pastor Sean. Like what he said, Sean and Pastor Sean and Monica and the family is on vacation. I just want to pray for them right now. Father, thank you so much for Pastor Sean and Monica and Josh and Becca. Lord, we are so grateful for this family you brought here. Would you bless them? Would you cause them to enjoy this wonderful season, this time away with their family, with Kelly, Lord, and Eric, Lord, that they would just really enjoy with the kids and all the cousins, Lord, that they would just enjoy a time of refreshment and building up and laughter, Lord, and help them just to be refreshed when they come home. But Father, we are so grateful for the life you've given to us in Pastor Sean and his family. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless them, we pray. In your name we ask. Amen. All right.
Good morning, church. You know, there's been a lot of unrest in our country recently. I think there's many reasons behind it. If you've not had a chance to watch a video that Phil Vischner put together, I would highly encourage you to do that. It made me think about a lot of things. At the end of it, he asked us to do one thing, and that is to care. That resonates so deeply with what God has called us to do for each other and for everyone else. Sean has just finished up a study in James recently, and I also came through James in a reading plan that I have. I would encourage you to read through James. It's short, but it is amazingly packed with just biblical truth. I wanted to read a couple of passages that stood out to me. James 1:5, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him." Asking God for wisdom in these times, I feel that that's what we need right now as individuals, as a church, and as a country. It goes on in James 1, verses 19 through 27. "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he is. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserves it, perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person is blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world." You know, I really believe that God has given us a calling to be the light in this world, and it's to show his love by how we care for one another and how we care for others. Let's pray. Dear God, I just pray for our country right now. I pray for all of the unrest that's going on, Lord. I pray that you would be seen through this, God, that people would come to know you. I pray that we as your church would be the light in this world, Lord. Grant us wisdom. Grant us the heart to care for everyone that we run into. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God that never fails, you'll not fail me now, you won't fail me now, in the waiting, the same God who's never late, is working all things out, working all things out, yes I will lift you high, the lowest valley, yes I will. Bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God that's never fails, will not fail me now, you won't fail me now, in the waiting, the same God who's never late, is working all things out, working all things out, yes I will lift you high, the your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. I choose to praise, glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on the cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, he laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For in this days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, our God.
All right. Hey, welcome Hawkinson Community Church and all those in cyberspace that are tuning in today. It is so good to be with you. That little impromptu thing, you know, where Caleb was trying, he really was. And he said some really good things. You just couldn't hear him. And he really made some good comments about dads and everything, but he just didn't hear him. But, you know, what a blessing to be here today. For me, what a joy to be here. So glad that Pastor Sean has an opportunity, and Monica and a family to get away and enjoy that we prayed about. Today, we're looking forward to what God has to say to us. We're continuing the study in 2 Peter. Pastor Sean finished that part in 1 Peter. Okay, so I recognize here. Let me get my thing on. There we go. Letters to the Scattered Church, Living the Jesus Story in Exile. This first one was written, as you well know, it was written about the church that was scattered all over Asia Minor. And Peter was trying to encourage them. You know, they were going suffering through persecution. He was just trying to encourage the church. Now, we're going to begin the second book of Peter, and others are going to be preaching. Sean's going to be preaching about what happened. But it was the farewell letter. It's his last letter to the church and to the believers in Asia Minor. And he had some very specific things to say to encourage them and to actually call them to account in their walk. He wanted to encourage them to grow in their spiritual maturity, to grow up in faith, live and practice their faith. He wanted to warn them about some false teachers in the church. I mean, things were going on, and he needed them to be diligent, to be ready for what was ahead. And he said, guys, I want you to practice, practice, practice. If I were teaching in Guatemala, it'd be practica, practica, practica. Guys, I want you to practice your faith. And don't we need to do that? If you're wondering what to do in this time where the whole world seems in chaos and you don't have any control, this is a time not just to hang on, endure this season so we get through it. No, I want you to grow in your faith and come out on the other side stronger, better equipped, so that you can be an influence both now and when you have opportunity in a broader sense. That's what God wants us to do, to grow up in our faith and to live and practice our faith. So that's what we're going to talk about. You know, I was teaching in Guatemala several years ago, and I had come a couple days early, but this teacher normally that would have been gone was still there because he wasn't done talking. He thought this was his farewell address. And he was an older gentleman, probably about my age now, you know, because I was much younger. But it was interesting. He actually came sick, and then he got really sick there, and he thought he was going to die. And so did they, actually. So what he did, normally what we teach, when I teach with YWAM, I teach a three-hour session every day and maybe an afternoon session, you know. But it's usually a three-hour session every day. Well, he taught a 3-hour in the morning, hour and a half at night, and a 3-hour in the evening, because he wanted to impart to them something that was important for him to leave with them, because he thought this was his farewell address. In fact, they sent him home with the doctor because they were not sure he was going to make it home. So that's the intensity behind this letter that Peter's writing. He says, guys, I want you to hear me. And we're going to talk about that. And he's going to give them some tools that they already have. He's going to remind them of the tools. And we're going to talk about those. But what I want to do, first of all, let's just read through those first 15 verses. That's what I'm going to cover. So read with me. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, our Savior. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us a very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil, the evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you now have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder, since I know that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed made it clear to me. And I will also make every effort so that you will be able to recall these things at any time after my departure. He is intent that they hear him. In these first few verses, he's going to give them a charge about walking and growing in their faith. And that's what I want to talk about. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would take your word, apply it to our hearts. But Lord, I pray that you'd make it part of the fiber of who we are. That we would walk, Lord Jesus, in the strength of your Holy Spirit. That we'd walk in the world that says, I so wonder what to do now. And we as the believers can say, here's what we do. We trust, we walk, we lean into. Lord, that we have some answers, not to solve the problems, but to walk in the middle of them with a quiet heart. That's what you give us as mature believers. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. I pray that you take your word and apply it to our hearts now. I surrender to you, Lord Jesus. In your name, I pray. Amen. So let's jump in. Simon Peter. Wouldn't you love it if letters were always started with who it was instead of reading to the end? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Look at there. Look at the order. It is relationship before rank. Relationship before rank. He didn't say, guys, I am the apostle and I am the authority here. He says, no, I'm a bond servant, just like you. In fact, he says that to those who received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, guys, we are one in relationship with Christ. We are coming into this thing together on the same footing, same ground. Yes, I am an apostle because I walk with Jesus. Yes, I have responsibility, but I share the same struggle as you do. And I share the same faith that you do. And I share the same strength in Christ that you do. May God's grace and peace, always grace and peace, the unmerited favor of God, and the peace that passes all understanding, that quiet heart that he brings and he gives to us as we walk in him, may it be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're not talking about knowing more about God, but knowing God in relationship. And that is what he's encouraging him. He's encouraging all of us to do that, to walk in relationship with him. But God showed his great love for us by sending his Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He said, I paid the price. You didn't. I was chasing after you when you were running away. I came that you might have life. Now, what are you going to do with that? And that's what this is about today. It says his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Can you imagine? You've got everything you need, all the essential tools in your toolbox to do what God has asked you to do. Everything you need. Now he says, are you going to use them? Are you going to use them to grow up in your faith? And he's going to talk about those tools in a second. By these, his glory and goodness, he says, we have been delivered from moral corruption. He said, I called you out of darkness. I brought you into light. Now, what are you going to do with that? And that's the encouragement I have today. What are you going to do with the faith that God has given you? I call this thing growing in faith and practice. No, I really want to encourage us, guys, during this pandemic season, during this global chaos, please don't come out on the other side of this thing just to get through tenaciously holding on. No, come out strong, ready in the ability to speak into right now where God has given you access. I mean, our access is limited. If you're old and vulnerable, I mean, I fall on that list. It's so funny. If you're over this and you're this, I'm kind of at the top of the chart there, is old and vulnerable, and I have these things going on in my body that says, you better stay away from people. Well, I still am growing in my faith. In fact, as I was preparing this message, God was saying, Mike, what are you doing? What are you doing to grow up in your faith? How are you growing in your walk with me? And so I was challenged and called to account by God. For this very reason, what reason? That we have been bought with a price, that our Savior has come after us while I was still a sinner, and he brought me into a relationship, delivered me from darkness and death, and he says, now I've given you some tools so that you can grow up in faith. He said, make every effort to supplement your faith, this wonderful faith that we have in Christ Jesus, this relationship we share with him, with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. He says, build on these things. God-honoring qualifications and qualities describing the believer growing in faith. These are the things that he's given to equip us to live a life that is growing, effective, and influential in the world. So what does it look like? Let me give you a rough, just a synopsis of each one of those. Goodness, the foundation of God's divine nature. Knowledge, deeper understanding of God personally. Not about him, but him. Self-control, moment-by-moment restraint. It is like a sprint. It is that moment-by-moment in the heat of the moment. Endurance, the ability to practice self-control over time. That's like a marathon. Godliness, it's God's goodness, not man's goodness. Brotherly affection, showing kindness to one another. Love, that unconditional and sacrificial love for others that wants the best. These are the tools that God says, I have given you. Everything you need to grow up in faith, to be an effective tool in my hand. Recently, I had an opportunity to not be bored. At least that's what Victoria told me. My daughter said, Dad, I know you're bored and you need something to do. You need a project. In fact, I have this project for you. It's really simple, Dad. It's simple, simple. It's simple. You know, it's just two befores. It's an outdoor sofa. She told me she looked at these things and they were really expensive, but she knew I could build one for much cheaper. So I said, well, let me look at the plan. So she sent me this plan right here and just detail it. And I said, okay, yeah, I could do that. And she says, oh, by the way, could you make me two of them? Oh, okay, sure. She said, Dad, it's simple. It's really simple. She kept saying, simple, simple. So I called it Victoria's Simple Sofa Project, you know. And so I said, I can do that. And so what's the first thing you do? You gather the materials. You make a materials list. And you find out, what do I need? That's like what God says. I've given you everything you need to make this project your life of faith, effective. Okay? And so you gather all the tools. You gather all the material, and then you begin to cut it up, you know, and you begin to assemble it. And it begins to look like something. And so it was really, really a fun project. It really was. In fact, she told me, this was on a Saturday, May 9th, I think, or whatever it was. And she said, Dad, you know, on Sunday, she said, would I be able to pick it up on Tuesday? Oh, sure, Vic, not a problem. You know, actually, I got it done on Monday. You know, because it was fun and I was bored. No, I just really enjoyed doing it. But so then you assemble these things and it begins to look like something. When you are walking in faith and you're exercising and you're utilizing and you're working on the tools that God has given you, you know, you're growing in your faith. You're looking different. Your life begins to look like something and you're useful. So this begins to look like something. And then here's the result of that thing. You get to enjoy it. You know, this is made out of tight knot cedar, some really premium wood. And this now, that's Jake and Steve, they're sitting in their patio on this furniture that I built for them. You know, that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to, in such a way, grow up in our faith that we are useful, we are helpful, that we make a difference in the world. And you can do it wherever you're at. I do it by contacting people, I call people, I talk to people. I write notes to people, I encourage people. I don't run around and go into places because I'm old and vulnerable and I'm potentially, you know, going to fall over. The other day, something happened at our house. It was really pretty funny. Ellie Joy, we haven't hugged. I mean, I don't know about you, but we haven't hugged. And I'm missing the hugs of my grandkids and all this stuff. But Ellie Joy came in and I was inside and Laura's outside and she came up to Laura and she gave her a hug. Whoa. Just like that. And as I walked out, she says, Papa, I'm sorry, I hugged Grandma. And so I said, come here. So I hugged her. I said, we need to die together. So I gave her a hug, you know, because we need to die together. You know, but we live in a weird world. And I'm trying to encourage you guys, I don't want you to come out of this on the other side less than when you went in. You should be increasing in your faith, strengthened in your walk, so that God can use you in the middle of it, through it, and at the end of it, and past it. God wants us to grow up. So let's just take a look at this. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. So the faith is that relationship you have with Jesus Christ. Goodness, as we said, is the foundation of God's divine nature. To say that God is good means that God always acts in accordance to what is right, true and good. Goodness is a part of God's nature, and he cannot contradict his divine nature. God made everything, and he said, it's good. It's good. It's good. In fact, it's very good. That's God, the one we love. There was a situation that happened where Jesus wanted to point back to the source of goodness, because God is the foundation of goodness. That rich young ruler came up, and he said, good master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And he stopped him right there. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. He pushed him back to the source. He wanted more knowledge about God and some things he could do. No, he said, no, you need to have a relationship with God. In fact, as it worked out, remember what he said to him? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I do all that. I've kept those commandments. Now go sell everything you have. Now it went to the core of his heart. And he said, you know, that's not going to work out for me. He wanted knowledge about God, but God wanted him and his heart. And so that goodness right there, only God is good. He's the source and foundation of good. So start there with the goodness of God. Remember that interaction with Peter and Cornelius? Cornelius was in his house, and an angel visited him, and he said to him, you know, he said, told him that what you need to do is get a hold of this guy, Peter, have him come and tell you about me. Okay, Cornelius was a centurion, a devout centurion. He loved God, but he wanted to know God more than about God. And so he sent word to Peter, and Peter was in the upper room and part of the top of his house, and a vision came, and this sheet came down, and all these animals, unclean. And God said, eat those. And he said, no, I don't do that. Two more times. And as he's pondering about that, the third time he's going, what does that mean? Eat those things. And then the man that was sent by Cornelius comes. And he said, Cornelius wants to come. So he went to his house. Did you notice something? Cornelius only needed one time. from God to instruct him, and he obeyed. Peter, it was three times. He gets to the house, and he begins to tell Cornelius the story about Jesus, more than about this God creator, but his son who made it possible for him to have a relationship with him. And in the middle of the story, he adds a little line about what Jesus did. He went about doing good. It's the godly goodness we're talking about. Not good for goodness sake, but for God's sake. He said, Jesus went about doing good. Cornelius, yes, you've been doing good, but for God, not just for goodness sake. And so he's pointing him back to the source of goodness, who is God. And that's the foundation that Peter says, I want you to build on, the goodness of God, who God is. He is good. Verse 5, and for this very reason, he says, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Goodness what? With knowledge. And we're not talking about knowledge about God. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, our supreme need is to know God. He meant to know him, God, well, to know him deeply, to know him truly, as he revealed himself in the Word. It's not about God, more knowledge. There's a lot of people that know about God, but don't know him personally. They'll tell you, well, my God wouldn't do that. Well, do you know God personally? And he's talking about this, knowing as creator. He created us in his image. In the beginning, God created man. It's not man created God, and yet we live in a world where we're creating our own God. It's man in the beginning. Know him as Savior, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Know him personally as you've received him as Lord and Savior. This is a knowledge that goes farther than about him. Know him as Lord. I love this verse. This verse I've had since, I don't know, I got a little plaque that I've had since I was 8 years old. It was given to me in Sunday school. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord, the sovereign ruler of the universe, but of my life. Know him as your sovereign Lord. He's in charge. You know, when it looks like everything is in chaos, the world is falling apart, remember, God is in charge. He is the sovereign Lord. Know him as Lord. Know him in our actions. You know, for years now, I've been reading through Psalms and Proverbs, over 40 years, and this particular psalm, Psalm 90, is a powerful psalm. Let me read some excerpts out of this passage right here. Psalm 90, in verse 9, I've got to get it to the right distance here. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I love that. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day, Years ago, I was reading like this, just this confession here. I was reading like this and at a public gathering, and I didn't put my glasses on because I was too prideful. And afterwards, my friend Landis said to me, what was wrong with you? You read like a second grader, you know? I said, it's pride, Landis. So it wasn't just pride. I just didn't want to put them on. But it'll make it much better if I read like this. Okay, here we go. Oh, boy, that is so much better. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass in the morning, and in the morning it springs up, and by evening it's dry and withered. Well, I have a little note here. Life is short. Live it well for Jesus. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass away and we fly away. It's given a man 70 years and if due strength, 80. Well, I'm 72 almost. So I've already got what's been given and I'm on extra time right now. And I am grateful for that. I want some due strength that I keep going. He says here in verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, this goes with this whole thing of building into your life, using these tools. Teach us to number our days. Lord, remind me how short and how few they are. I have prayed this particular verse over and over and over again, this last one right here, verse 17. It says, may the fear of the Lord God rest upon us. Establish, Lord, the works of my hands. Yes, establish the works of my hands. Before I've got out of bed, many, many, many years, many days, before I ever move, I say, Lord, establish the works of my hands. Lord, establish the works of my hands. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be where you want me to be. And I look at this right here. He says, your days are short, Mike, and you're going to fly away. It's like dust. Boom, gone. But I want to be faithful. So I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive in my walk with Jesus. I want to grow up in my faith. And I've been challenged, let me tell you, in this time, not just to hold on, but to grow up in faith. And that's what he's saying. When you recognize that we're in the image of God, that he saved us, that he is the Lord of my life, he says, Mike, I'll tell you what to do if you ask, and I'll give you the equipment to do it. Continue to grow in your faith, not with knowledge about me, but knowledge of me in relationship. And he says, I want you to supplement your faith with goodness, knowledge, and now with self-control. Oh, Lord, anybody struggle with that one, self-control? Not me. Right. We all struggle with that, self-control. Without the ability to control ourselves, our knowledge of good and the desire to do it is worthless. Self-control is the moment-by-moment restraint of our urges, the ability to make the right choices in the moments when temptation strikes us. Okay, it is in the heat of the moment when I fall. I mean, the moment-by-moment, make the right decision. This or this, this or this, this or this. Always temptation comes at me like that. The Bible says that a city with broken down walls is like a man without self-control. Because the city was protected by these walls. And without those walls, you were prey. You were defenseless. And Timothy says to us, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Power, my power? No, because I know I can't do it. God's power, love, what? His love that resides in and through me, self-control. But he says, Mike, you're the one that has to do it. You're the one that has to stop yourself or make yourself do it. It isn't always don't do this, it's do this. Self-control is, I would rather do this, but I should do this. So it's not always a negative thing, it's a positive thing. Self-control says, no, do this. This is a better choice. It's having that self-control. This probably is one of the best pictures I've seen. You ever feel like this? The enemy's coming at you? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I mean, you hear it. You've heard the roar of the enemy. Remember who the enemy is. He's always the same. It's not people. Never people. It's always the enemy. It's the devil himself. And he works through people, obviously, and you're one of them, and so am I. You know, we've been used in his hands. But it's always the enemy. That's where I fight, not against flesh and blood, but against the enemy. He said, but be self-controlled. Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. That's the self-control, standing firm in the faith. In that faith you have, as you're building your faith, resist. Resist. And what happens? He flees. He's out of there. He doesn't know what to do with that. You know, I look at that right there and I see the face of that roaring lion. Remember, he's toothless. He's toothless in the reality of this thing. He is toothless because he can't do anything because you're one of God's kids. Now, you can allow damage to happen when you fall prey, but the enemy is toothless. But he's loud and he's scary. When I fall prey to him, things happen that shouldn't happen. So grow in your faith. Be alert. Stay self-controlled here. And supplement your faith with goodness, knowledge, self-control, and with endurance. Remember that self-control was like a sprint, I said? Where you're running real fast. There's times you're trying to run away from it. This one is like a marathon. The ability to practice self-control over time. Endurance is the ability to practice over time. Our moment-by-moment, hour-by-hour, day-by-day choices eventually turn into lifestyles known as marathons. Endurance is the ability to maintain self-control even when the pressure of temptation continues to attack us over and over and over again. Well, I did that once, not done, over and over. You know, I don't know about a marathon. I've done 5 half marathons. I did my last one this last year. I did it on September the 15th, you know, when I was 70 years old, 4 months after my open heart bypass surgery. And I can tell you from reality, I understand that for a marathoner, mile 20, 21, that's between that is that point where you'd say, I can't do it. I can't make it. I'm going to quit. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I've done 5. It's mile 9 through 10. It's right in there. I remember this last one. It was pouring down rain. I'm all alone. I'm doing this thing, and it's pouring down rain, and I am so tired, and yet I'm doing this thing. You know, it's a walk run for me, but I'm finishing this thing. I get there, and it's about mile 10. I know the course, this particular course, really well, and so I kind of laughed. I said, well, what can I do? I'm not going to call anybody. They come pick me up because I can't finish. So I'm going to finish, you know. It's doing it again and again, 1 foot in front of the other, again and again and again. That's what God has called us to in endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand, the throne of God. Now there's the example. Jesus, who didn't have to, came, died on a cross, didn't have to, but did, endured the shame. What for me? Why wouldn't I continue in my faith to grow more and more for my Lord and Savior? Why wouldn't I do that? So that I can be an effective tool in his hands. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. Just at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up and quit. I mean, just before dawn, I'm told it's the darkest. So this morning, you know, I'm up really early, and I'm always up early before dawn. And so it was interesting. I'm watching this, and it's dark, 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 and I just see a little glimmer of just this blue haze. And there's blue haze because it was dark blue, and then it's light blue, and then it turns into this bright brilliance of day. If you don't give up and quit, just before you want to quit. I mean, between 9 and 10, I can tell you, I know right where that's at on this course, and I want to quit. He said, don't quit. Keep running. Keep going. Therefore, whenever you have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I think probably for me, those are the places I can work with things really easy. You know, I mean, I just can. But when you work with people, that's a different story, isn't it? Don't give up and quit in that relationship. Don't give up and quit on that person. Keep working, keep loving, keep giving. God says, if you do, you will reap a harvest of blessing in that relationship, especially to those in the family of faith. Grow up in your faith. Love on God's kids in a way that we want to quit, but we don't quit. Let that be part of the tool that you really develop, endurance. Stay at it. When you want to quit, when you're so tired, you're so frustrated, don't quit. That's what he tells me here in the Word. Supplement your faith with goodness, with knowledge, with self-control, endurance, and with godliness. Godliness is God's goodness, not man's goodness. This is not merely human goodness. This is the godly goodness. This is a moral excellence which reflects the divine nature of God himself in you, instead of the temporary earthbound goodness of men. You know, when people say to you, oh, you are so good. You are so good. You know, people have said to me, oh, you're such a good guy. You're such a good guy. I said, if it's good you see in me, that would be God. If it's dirt, it's all Mike. It's all Mike. I mean, it is God's goodness you see in my life. That foundational thing we started with. The goodness of God that comes out in my life. And if I'm doing anything like that, it's God coming out through my life. And that's what he's saying here. Godliness, the godliness that is good. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. You know, I used to train really hard. Laura and I would go to the gym, and we would work out really hard there. And but it was interesting. I would pray this particular passage right here. Lord, I know that physical training is profitable for some things. It keeps my body in order. But spiritual training is so much better because it trains me both for this life and the life to come. So Lord, with the two of those, don't one or the other, but give yourself to spiritual training to grow up in your faith. But godliness, 1 Timothy says right here, that with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Godliness, this godliness of God in our life that lives in and through us, God in us, is content. Are you content? Are you content with your lot in life? Do you know how you tell a content person? They're grateful. It's not a complicated thing. I can tell a person that is content if they're grateful with where they're at. They're thankful for what they have. Not what they don't have, not what has happened to them, but they're grateful. That's contentment. Godliness, this life in God that comes out through our hands and feet, is a life of gratefulness. That's contentment. And he says, will you walk in that? Will you live in that? 2 Peter, a little farther down, Sean's going to be teaching on this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Now, you've often heard it said, it's all going to burn, guys. It is. It is, guys. And we're holding on to it like it is the most important thing. There's only three things, and you've heard me say it many times here, and I've taught this over the years, that are eternal. That would be God, the Word, and His kids. That's it. And where do we invest our times? Where do we invest ourselves? In the stuff? No, invest in your relationship with God. That's what he's talking about right here, Peter says. That's what he's talking about. Invest in that, because those are the things that are eternal. That's what God wants us to invest in. Supplement your faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, and godliness with brotherly affection. Showing kindness to one another. We are motivated to do this for each other because of our family connection in Christ. Peter calls us to make every effort to show kindness to each other. I remember my mama saying, would you just be kind to your brother? Just be kind. Not complicated. You know, just be kind to him. And I can hear her say that. Be kindly and affectioned toward one another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Preferring one another. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. Not uniformity. We don't all have to think the same. We shouldn't. But kindness says, you can be different than me. And I can love you because our hearts are united in Christ. Especially in the family of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 101, I long to live as I should, first of all, in my own home, to practice my faith in my own home. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, the person is a liar. Whew, that's a strong statement. Just happens to be true. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us a command. Those who love God must love their fellow believers. Not an option. No, I don't like everything people do, but I am required to love with a godly love, a sacrificial love that says, I want your best good. That's what God has called us to. You can't hate your brother and say, I love God. It doesn't work that way. No, God will live in you and through you, loving them. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. That's how you love your brother, because you realize God has forgiven you. Not a complicated thing. John 13, a new commandment I give you. Now listen to this, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you must also love one another. By this all men will know that we are, what? Disciples. If you love one another. Three times in one verse, love one another, love one another, love one another. What he's called us to, not complicated to understand or get, is it? No, love one another. And the world will say, well, what is different about them? They care for each other. That's what the church has to offer, guys. Do we love one another? No, we bump and brush sometimes and go, ah, but we love each other. We care for each other. God has called us to that. Finally, he says this, and supplement your faith with goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and with love. It is that unconditional sacrificial love for others. Agape love is modeled by Christ, not based on feeling. Rather, it is based, it is a determined act of the will, a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above my own. Jesus was motivated both by his love for the Father and his love for us. The Greek word agape refers to the unconditional, selfless, sacrificial concern for the good of others. It is that unconditional, sacrificial love that I have for you, that God has for us. That's why he sent his son. In fact, I want to show you this picture right here. This picture is out of the family Bible that I grew up with. This is the one where I learned to read, you know, when I was a little boy. I remember my dad putting this in our laps. One thing my daddy did. Now, was my daddy perfect? No. But one thing he did, he pointed me to the Word of God. And I fell in love with the Word of God. And I remember this book became so powerful. This family Bible, I have it in my office. It's a giant book. And I remember when I was a little boy, it was really giant. Put it in my lap and I get to read. I remember when I got to read, how good that was. But this is the page that's most worn out. Because I would open to this page and I would study and stare at this page from the cradle to the grave. And I would ponder over this as a little boy. I came to Christ at 8, that Jesus would come and he would love me so much that he would die for me as a little baby. And there, that's this picture. This indelibly is imprinted. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. This is the story of God's love. That God loved us so much that while I was still a sinner, he says, I'm going to bring you into relationship with me so you have a faith that is enduring. Now, use these qualities, these attributes, these tools to build what God wants you to build. And as you look at that, this is what you get. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, did you catch that? In increasing measure, not, okay, I got those things. No, all those tools are in my tool belt. I haven't used them in years. You know, you're not going to be able to build something like a simple sofa project, you know, if you don't use the tools. And if you do, you're going to end up with this project, this faith that is so strong. If you do this in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. You forgot what Christ did for you. You just said, hey, I got fire insurance. How great is that? No. God wants us to be influencers in the world, to encourage people, to build them up. In our faith, as we walk, we can encourage other people. And you end up with something like this. Well, there's a little video I want to show you. 1962 or 3, I don't remember what it was, John Kennedy made a statement. We're going to put a man on the moon. And I watched as it happened in 1969, July 20th. About 51 years ago next month, and the first man walked on the moon. Now, think of it this way, just like this. They had to put together all these essential things, all the necessary tools and all the things to make this project work. Man walks on the moon. Now, it's a short little clip, but what I want you to see in the middle of this thing, something happened. I'll talk about it. So let's watch this.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11.
875 feet. 4 forward, drift into the right level.
30 seconds.
Forward, drift. Okay, engine stop. Drift in Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Yet while Apollo 11 remains a hallmark of our collective past, a significant event occurred on the mission that went unnoticed by the more than 600 million people who watched from Earth with breathless anticipation. On July 20th, 1969, astronaut Edwin Buzz Aldrin celebrated communion on the moon.
Houston, Tranquility, over.
Tranquility, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, this is the LEM pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever, wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way. Over.
For Aldrin, giving thanks meant shifting his focus from the challenges of the journey to the power and grace of the God who had made it possible. And as Mission Control initiated a 5-hour period of radio silence so the astronauts could rest before their first walk on the moon, he removed a packet from his spacesuit and arranged its contents. A silver chalice, a wafer, a small vial of wine, and a note card with a handwritten passage from the Gospel of John. Later, the pilot reflected on his decision to observe the Christian sacrament 240,000 miles from home.
During the radio blackout, I prepared the bread and the wine. As I poured the wine into the chalice our church had given me, the 1/6 gravity of the moon caused the liquid to curl slowly and gracefully up the side of the cup. Then I read the scripture which I had chosen to indicate our trust in Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. I remember the sound of the eagle's metal body creaking as I ate the wafer and swallowed the wine. I gave thanks for the intelligence and spirit that had brought two young pilots to the Sea of Tranquility. At the time, I could think of no better way to acknowledge this enormous achievement than by giving thanks to God. Then I offered a prayer for the task at hand and the opportunity I'd been given.
In an interview, Aldrin noted that it was fitting the first liquid ever poured on the moon and the first food ever eaten there were the elements of communion.
What I want you to notice, that was a quiet moment, a personal moment with Buzz Aldrin. Just like you, just like me. I grow in my faith alone. No one else is beating me up and saying, you got to do this. But God is calling me to this place. Now, I look at this right here. He says, and Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For you can do nothing without me. You know, how important this is to realize that you and I can do nothing without Jesus. And the world's watching. This particular passage right here is on a portfolio that I have. When I, years ago when I was in business, and I had a graphic arts business, and I was looking at being hired by an engineering firm, and I was a designer, a graphic designer, and they wanted someone in their workspace there to do this kind of stuff. And in the cover of this thing was this passage, John 15:5. And I remember in the interview, I opened to this page. If you know what a portfolio, it's a big deal. And, you know, it's this big notebook with all the work that I've done. And so, but the front of it is this passage right here. And Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. And I shared with the owner, which I knew him, my commitment to Christ and all the things that I had done here, a relationship to him. And my hands, yes, I was skilled in what I did, but it was because of God in my life. Now, he thanked me and thought, wow, that is really cool, and your work is great, but I don't think you're going to fit here. That is way too heavy. You know. And so he didn't hire me, but he thanked me. Like with Buzz, that was personal. No one else saw what he did, but they saw the results of what he did. He called the whole globe, 600 million people, to a standstill and said, pause with me and thank whoever whoever, to listen. And everyone knows it's the God creator. Am I doing that in my world, in my walk, in my faith? Do people know that I love him with my whole heart, mind, and strength? Do they know that? Do they know that about you? As you're growing in faith, it'll come out of you as you use these things. And I look at the passage here. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Because if you do these things, you will never stumble. No, as you grow in faith, as you become more skilled in your walk, you're not going to stumble in the same way. You're not. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will richly be provided for you. Yes, we get to go home. But he says, while you're here, these tools, these essential qualities, these attributes, he says, build on them in increasing measure so that when you come out, you're stronger. And it's a walk that is a lifetime of a walk. I remember coming to the Lord when I was 8 years old. And I gave my heart to Jesus. I remember I was deep, deep in sin. That's what it felt like anyway. I was sitting third row back. And my cousin, I asked him, do you want to go give your heart to Jesus? And he said, no, why? And God was calling me. He says, Mike, I want you. And over the years, I've been building on this so that God can use me during the race. But at the end of the race, he says, well done. But I'm not there yet, and I want to keep growing in my faith. I want to finish this right here with the Message Bible. See, the goal of this particular first 15 verses is that he would challenge them, is what he's doing, calling them to account. He says this, because the stakes are high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling you to attention before it. This is the post to which I've been assigned, keeping you alert with the frequent reminders. I'm sticking to it as long as I live. I know that I'm about to die soon. My master made it clear, quite clear to me. And so I'm especially eager for you to have this all down in black and white so that after I die, you'll have it for ready reference. He's saying, guys, I know you're doing this. I know you're practicing, but do it even more and do it even more intensely. Because the days are evil. You think it's evil today? They were evil. Not a whole lot different. The false teachings, the heresies that were going on then are going on today. No different. But he says, I've left you here. Jesus said, I've left you here so that you will be a great influence for good. Godly good. Not man's good. So that people go, oh, Mike's such a great guy. No, they would see my Father in me. I don't care if people remember me. I want them to remember my Father who I loved. But I need to grow up in my faith. I love the fact that I always have something to do. I love the fact that I get to grow more and more and more, but I'm not done. Now, sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get weary. Sometimes, come on, Lord, leave me alone. He says, that's okay. Keep at it. This is a marathon. You know, it's not a sprint. And I want you to continue on. Run the race that God has set out before you. Let me end with this right here. This is a letter I got from my mama. Now, in 1972, this was one of the first operations, open-heart surgeries they had over at the Good Sam Hospital or Samaritan's Hospital. My mom was one of the first ones that they did this to in 1972, open-heart surgery. And so I flew back. I was in Bible college, flew back and was there. And Mama had given us these letters, and she gave them to us, you know, before she went into surgery, one to each one of us kids and to my dad. And so I actually have my dad's and my brother's because my brother's gone, my dad's gone, and I have those. They're part of what I have. But this is the one to me. And she says, dearest Mike and children, I thank God for your life and what it stands for. If God's will is to take me, I will see you on the other side. I love that. I will see you on the other side. I am looking forward to seeing my mama on the other side. Just keep in God's will, no matter where he leads you, little places or big place, because he has a plan for all of us. God bless, and I love you all. Love, Mom. Farewell letter. She didn't know. Now, she lived many more years, but she didn't know that. And she says, I want to point you in the right direction, just like Peter. I want to remind you of these things. I don't mind over and over and over and over reminding you. She says, stay in God's will, Mike. Doesn't matter where he leads you, little places or big, doesn't matter. Just do what God has for you to do. But I know what he has for all of us to do. I don't know what he has particularly for you to do, but he wants us all to grow up in our faith. Add to your faith all of these things so that you will be a useful tool in God's hands, that you'll be fruitful in your walk, in your life. I mean, that's what God has called us to, and that's what Peter's telling us about. And that's the word he has for you today and for me, and I want to do it. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. It's just hard. It's just hard to do because I got to do it every single day, all day long. But at the end of it, when I finish the race, just like Peter, he says, I'm done. I'm going home. My mama finally went home, and I'll get to see you on the other side, but I'm not there yet. I get to be here, and so do you. So let's be faithful in the journey. Let's add to our faith all of these tools so that God will use us for the kingdom and we'll be fruitful in our walk, in our life. Amen? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your kindness to us, that you would call us to a place of relationship first with you, a relationship of faith, that we trust you as our Lord and Savior, and that you call us to this place of relationship and restore us in relationship with our Father. But now, Lord, I know you want us to walk this out daily so that we can be an influence for good and godliness, the goodness of God that reigns and rules in our hearts through you, Jesus. May people see you in our lives as we walk this out, as we grow up in our faith, as we use these tools to increase our faith and our usefulness and fruitfulness in life. Jesus, thank you for the word. Thank you for your kindness to us, your grace that brought us into this relationship. Now go with us. Be with us today. Be with all the dads and families today. Let them enjoy you and each other, I pray. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray these things. Amen. All right. I think this is where, I'm not sure how to end this thing, but guys, I see Sean do this every week. He says, really miss you, want to see you, can't wait to see you. You know, when we can be here in the sanctuary, it just looks strange right now. Empty, there's Caleb over there, he's so handsome, you know, still thinking about what to say. Harley's back here, Brian and David, you know, and I miss you guys. I mean, I can see you guys because you're all sitting in the same places. So, you know, I can kind of place where you're at. But guys, I'm looking forward to being together again. So Lord bless you. See you next time, and Sean will be back in a couple weeks. Pray for them, that they'll have a wonderful time, and that God would just really refresh them. And pray for these elders, guys. I just really want you to. And all the churches, as we seek to know how best to love on his kids. God bless you. We'll see you when I see you. All right. God bless.